This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
Okay, it is indeed time for another Startup Nation radio show. This is the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your dream business. Listen, if you've been sitting around thinking about starting a business of your own, now is the time, and this is the show for you. Tune in, you'll hear great advice, even a dose of inspiration too. Great show ahead. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome to this edition of Startup Nation Radio. We've got in studio with me co-hosting Norm Pappas. Norm, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks.
We had a great show last week. We talked about the Hatch Contest, among other things, that Comerica sponsors. Great sponsor of Startup Nation Radio also, as is Pappas Financial. It was really interesting. We heard, the most interesting takeaway for me, Norm, from last week's show about the Hatch Contest was the notion that Detroit's no longer a Rust Belt manufacturing-only kind of town.
Yeah. By the way, Peggy, Don, and my mother enjoyed this show so much, they're listening again today, and 2,000 of their best friends.
Wow. So, okay. You better step it up a bit. You better step it up a bit. Okay, great. Well, again, talking about the Hatch Contest, the four finalists, none of them were advanced manufacturing related to the automotive companies in any way. Times are changing here in this region, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. The culture, the climate.
So you know who the winner was. Are you going to share
yes,
that?
Yes, indeed. The $50,000 winner of the Hatch Detroit Contest was Live Cycle Delight. Live Cycle Delight. They were one of the four finalists, and it's not an automotive business. It's a business where they're going to have, you can go in and do cycling and indoors, and completely unique concept.
You know, maybe we ought to have all four of those finalists and have the three food companies bring their samples in.
There
and we
you go.
Can talk
Better than
about
cycling
it.
Any day, isn't it, Norm?
No, yeah. No. Yeah. And why did they win? That was
right,
fun.
Right. Well, this contest was part judged by a panel of judges and also part popularity. So, they had to campaign. They campaigned hard. They earned it. Yep. A lot of hustle involved in winning the contest. Well, what a great prize. $50,000 to a startup company, that can make or break.
It's great. You actually have three really good guests today that are going to talk about another kind of contest.
We do indeed, and we're going to start with Gene Redfield, the president and CEO at Next Energy. Gene, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So Next Energy, you lead this organization. It's been around since 2000, right?
Oh, 2002.
2002. Okay, yep. Tell us about Next Energy
first. Sure. Next Energy is an incubator and accelerator for advanced energy and transportation technologies. And so we do a whole bunch of different services for startups with tech vetting and access to funding coaching and business consulting and matchmaking services, really aim to take them from wherever they are to wherever they need to go next, fast. Mm-hmm. So one of the tools in our toolkit is something that we call our Next Challenges, which is this idea of a downstream customer actually putting together a technology challenge, a solution that they're looking for, and then we globally crowdsource solutions teams to come together and figure out what's the best way to meet that particular sponsor's challenge.
That's incredible. I want to get into the details of the contest. Before we do, though, I think, Norm, we know there's, for young companies to be successful, they need lots of things, lots of resources, lots of help, access to customers, access to funding, access to good mentorship, et cetera. Next Energy, we're going to get into the contest in a second, but you're one of those key ingredients that helps, the term, I guess, of the art is accelerate, right, these young companies. But give us a kind of an array of the services that you provide to the companies, and then also maybe some examples of companies that have gone through the system and where they are today.
Great. We do a number of services, starting with, just evaluating their technologies. Does it work? If it does work, who cares? Who cares enough to actually either buy it or invest in it? We do a lot of work around business consulting, helping them think through what is the relevant go-to-market strategy and who are those partners that are going to help them go to market. Because we focus on energy and transportation, we know that penetrating those markets is particularly tough because they have very well-established supply chains.
Yes.
And if you can't get into that supply chain, you can't get to the market. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of work with established players in the supply chain, hooking them up with small companies.
Norm, go ahead.
Well, you know what? These are good services. I'm a biography reader, and Gene started this in 2002. But Gene, you have an interesting background I've been reading about, and how that can help people in what you're doing now.
Sure, I kind of have what we jokingly refer to as a checkered past. I'm one of those engineer MBAs, so worked for very large companies in industrial settings, then went to business school and became a management consultant. And as a consultant, I got to work in Europe and India and Brazil and North America. And that was where it kind of hit me that most of the world doesn't look like here. Mm-hmm. So successful companies in the 21st century are going to have to think about those global markets and understand how to reach them. The U.S. market is a great market. We're the biggest economy, you know, vying oftentimes with our friends in China.
Right.
But our demographics don't favor growth. So how do we think about the global competition and global markets differently?
Everything's global today.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's
absolutely
global. You gotta think globally. Tell us about some of the companies now that, you know, give us some examples of companies.
Sure. Couple of examples. One is a lighting company that has a really interesting product where they can mimic daylight and the sequence of daylight. And they came to us and we worked with them, and they actually did a demonstration at our center, because in addition to services, we actually have a 2.8-acre campus that is a living lab for companies to come and plug their technologies in and try them. Well, when they came to our center, they learned all kinds of cool things that they didn't know before, like their product couldn't be put in a box and shipped. Mm. Their product couldn't be installed. All these practical things.
Innovators and scientific minds
don't necessarily think about first.
Well,
exactly.
I love the approach you guys. The first thing you said was we first look at the market, and we try to make sure there's something there, because great ideas are wonderful. Science is science, and in its own right has value. But when we start to apply science in a business context, it's got to be a market for it ultimately, right?
That's right.
Practicality is a matter of fact. So, well, we're going to get into the contest right after this break. We want to learn more about that. And Norm, you'll be back with us right after the break.
We're
going to
learn
right into this.
Learn about how to not just the market, but execution.
Market and execution. So, Gene, stick with us. We'll come back right after the break, and we'll learn more about Next Energy and the contest you guys have.
It's Startup Nation on WJR. Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream
by taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to this edition of Startup Nation Radio, brought to you today by Comerica Bank and Pappas Financial. Norm, we're talking about Next Energy. We are talking about how that accelerator helps build businesses right here in Southeast Michigan, and it's a great program. Great program.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear how businesses are helped with different strategies and ideas.
Yeah, indeed. And Gene Redfield, the president and CEO of Next Energy, you're with us on the show. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
We talked a little bit about Next Energy. We touched on an example company who you've helped bring along. And now let's talk about, I called it a contest, more fairly and appropriately called maybe a challenge.
We have something that we call Next Challenge, which is specifically designed to help startups get access to the market. So what we do is we get a sponsor who has an unmet need. In this case, the one we're going to talk about today is Recovery Park, which is an urban agriculture nonprofit here in Detroit.
And let me interrupt you for one second.
Sure.
When you talk about a sponsor,
yep,
when you talk about they have a need, that's actually you source a customer who has a need,
right,
and you guys are going to be challenged with really addressing and hopefully satisfying that customer's need, which I love. Again, you talked about Next Energy, and you talked about the importance of really applying good ideas in a business context so that they meet a market need.
Absolutely.
Right away. And this is taking it one step further and actually
right,
addressing
the
a need.
The need
a
gets
challenge
defined by the customer, and it's usually something that they've been that they know there's a range of technical approaches to solving it, but they may not have the technology solution in house. So they define what the need is, and then we work with with our network to bring together solutions teams who literally propose a way to meet that need using their technologies. So the challenge that we're going to talk about today is what we call Next Challenge Lighting. Recovery Park was the sponsor. Mm-hmm. An urban ag application where they know that the tuning the light available to plants actually increases the productivity of the plant. So if your business is growing and you're growing stuff in at this latitude here in Detroit, mm-hmm. how do you get more growth in the course of a year by actually mimicking more summertime?
And then what's the relationship? The customer has this need. Mm-hmm. You guys solve it. Mm-hmm. You find a solution.
Well, actually, we don't solve it. We put it out to our network.
Right. I mean yep. you help put together yep. the solving of it through the, you put it out to your network, you pull the team together, the team finds a solution. But then what's the relationship with the customer? Is this a for-profit endeavor at that point? Is there a business relationship?
It typically can lead to a business relationship. The first step is what we call the demonstration, literally putting the winning solution together with whoever is the sponsor to actually get to build it and test it and see how it works. So in this case, the winning solution is actually three small companies, Lumenflow, AMF Nano, and Nextech Power Systems, and the president of Nextech is here with us today. And they put together the total solution of the lighting, the sensors, and the power control systems that actually, we hope, expect to increase the productivity of the agriculture process for Recovery Park.
And since the sponsor sponsors this, do they own
mm-hmm.
it?
They have the potential to enter into a commercial relationship with the winning companies, yes.
Okay.
They don't own the technology. The companies are still going to own the technologies.
Got it.
But what's great for the startups is they get the potential for either a first customer or in some cases actually a joint development partner that can actually help tune their technology to a larger market.
Well, and you've brought some guests along with you today mm-hmm. who are part of this challenge, who
yep.
came up with part of the solution. Why don't you help us introduce the guests?
Sure. We've got the founder of Recovery Park, Gary Wozniak, here today, and we've got the president of Nextech Power Systems, Paul Savage, here with us today.
Great. Well, great to have you guys in the studio.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So this is a really cool thing. I mean, you know, small business is always challenged with finding a customer, you know, getting to the market. Here a customer comes to you and says, we have a need. Can you help us solve it? What a great opportunity.
It has been for us. I mean, just the partnership with Next Energy, but then also looking at 13 different conglomerates of ideas on how to solve our big challenge of how do we mimic growing cycles for like July, August, September, in December and January so we can get maximum yield, we can get high-quality product to our customers, which is really important to us.
Incredible. Gary, tell us about your background a little bit so people out there listening can know a little bit about Gary.
So my background, I'm a
Gary Wozniak. Yep.
I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started seven of my own businesses. This is actually my eighth business that I'm starting. We launched as a nonprofit, but it's merging into a for-profit business, Recovery Park Farms. I came out of retirement to do this, to solve a real challenge in Detroit around jobs for really challenged people, people coming out of prison, people coming out of substance abuse treatment programs. And it's coupling with the city of Detroit's need to, you know, take the land that they own that's non-productive and put it into productive use. So we went down the path of doing commercial scale agriculture. We're getting ready to launch a 36-acre project in the city next year that builds on two successful pilots. We have product in 15 restaurants right now, of highly specialized produce. We have an $8 million contract that we're negotiating with a regional distributor to take us into 420 restaurants. And being able to solve lighting, water, energy challenges are really, really important for us to be truly successful.
Incredible. I mean, this is really the best of all worlds. I mean, it really is a win-win-win for everyone involved. Great, great program. And Gene, we've also got Paul Savage in studio mm-hmm. as well. You want to
sure.
introduce Paul for us?
We talked briefly about the solution for Gary's lighting, water, and productivity challenge as being a combination of LED lights, really amazing sensors and controls, and then the energy management and process control systems all coming together. Well, the first company, Lumenflow, isn't here today. The second company, AMF Nano, isn't here today. But the third company, Nextech Power Systems, is here today. And they've got a really great DC power network system and also some advanced control solutions that we're really excited about. Paul, you want to tell us more about that?
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking when Jeff was talking, you missed a win. It's a win-win-win. Yeah, because it's an application of technology that we've already really completely developed for the lighting and control application inside buildings. And we had actually gotten inquiry in the past, but not the committed kind of inquiry that we're enjoying here with Recovery Park about, hey, can you do commercial greenhouse lighting systems? And so to have the partners brought to the table for us really allowed us to show what we had already created in terms of the efficiency they were looking for, the connectability, the controls platform in that application. So we got to go very quickly to really a new product for us, a whole new application for us that we didn't have before. So we had come here from New York to get closer to the automotive supply chain, believing that the electrification of the vehicle was a great trend for us to connect with because of the increasing number of electronic loads in buildings. Mm. So the parts that go into our product are increasingly the same parts that you see in electric and hybrid electric vehicles. So that's sort of the reason we came out here. And it's been great to be in what I think of as Detroit's technology town square, where people come in to visit, and we get to be connected to these kinds of things.
You know, it's interesting to me. Paul and Gary both came from the financial world, and they are doing things that are quite different than what they used to do. They've got passion and energy towards what they're doing. And, you know, Gene, too, you know, having been something different. So now they have reinvented themselves, mm-hmm. which is great. But this source of help for businesses, you know, entrepreneurs are kind of a lonely experiment. Mm-hmm. And here's great support.
Well, that's the cool thing about, it's mm-hmm. one of the cool things about these programs. It's another win. It's another win at the end of the list.
We could listen to their, like, Paul, you were in Vietnam.
That's right, with Caterpillar, not the U.S. Army.
No.
But right, we were there to start up operations. It was the first Greenfield startup Caterpillar had seen in 25 years.
Wow.
They have an interesting story about their backgrounds in addition to what they're doing currently.
Well, and that's great. You know, entrepreneurs are colorful. Well, some have checkered paths even more.
Right.
So not you. Not you. I'm not referring to you. That's for sure.
We all do.
We all do. Who are we kidding, right? Who are right. we kidding? I mean, it's if you're an entrepreneur, it's assumed. Mm-hmm. So listen, I want to talk about something. It's a really powerful program. I love it. I want to talk about, though, what happens when you put different companies together, different minds together to solve problems that can work really well, and it can also present some challenges. So we want to talk about that when we come back, that collaborative aspect of all this. So stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. I'm here with Norm Pappas, our co-host. Sponsor of Startup Nation Radio, Pappas Financial, along with Comerica Bank. Really interesting show. They always are.
Yeah, you know what? Each of them should say how people can get hold of them.
Well, let's do that. I mean, if I'm a company out there listening, I'm intrigued by this whole notion of getting into an accelerator, in particular, Next Energy. How do they find you, Gene?
Best thing to do is just go on out to our website, nextenergy.org, and take a look at the events, which ones make sense for you. Take a look at the various upcoming activities and just hook on. There's also ways to connect with specific venture services if you're a startup, or our tech commercialization team if you're a more established firm.
One more quick thing for us. If there are people out there listening and they're wondering, is this mm-hmm. for me? Paint the picture of who this really is for. I mean, who should be thinking about Next Energy?
Next Energy focuses on energy and transportation technology. So if you've got a product or an idea that's focused on the energy world, the grid, buildings, the built environment, lighting, HVAC, whatever, or transportation, automotive, connected mobility, multimodal solutions, any of that, then you might be a good candidate for Next Energy. And I think it's important to recognize that beyond Next Energy, there's a whole host of incubators and accelerators to support startups in Michigan.
Right.
And so if we're not right for you, we can certainly connect you with who is.
That's great. And Gary Wozniak, President and CEO of Recovery Park.
So the best way to get a hold of us is go to www.recoverypark.org. My contact information is on there. We're looking for people not only in the growing space, but for distribution, so new restaurant opportunities, new food ideas, specialty product that we can grow. We're also looking for solutions around the things that we're working with Next Energy, so energy, lighting, water, fertilization, system control, sensor technology.
Great.
And Recovery Park is one word.
Recovery Park is one word, yes. Don't get fooled.
Okay, there we go. And Paul Savage, CEO, Next Tech Power Systems.
Unsurprisingly, it's nexttechpowersystems.com to get into the front end of our website, but we're also co-founders of a global organization to advance DC power systems and standards called the Emerge Alliance, and that's an interesting website, collects the input from over 100 companies, a lot of them multinational, around this idea of direct current power systems for buildings. That's the emergealliance.org.
Okay, great. Gene, before we left the last break, we started to talk about this notion of collaboration, how it can be a very positive thing, obviously, but how it can also be challenging. Talk to us a little bit about some of the opportunities and challenges associated with these collaborative efforts.
Because we focus on energy and transportation technologies, pretty much everything we work on tends to end up in the context of a system. As soon as you're talking a system, you're likely talking collaboration. And so the challenge with collaboration is bringing those pieces together in a way that works for everybody. Oftentimes, small companies will have a piece of the solution and think that they can go to market with just that slice. And so marrying them up with the right partners and the right collaborators to get their solutions out and tested in the marketplace is kind of our forte. It's a combination of putting the right players together and then figuring out how to deal with the IP issues, the joint development agreements, the co-ownership, the natural next steps for it to be a win-win for all of the various parties collaborating.
Yeah, yep. What about you guys?
Well, and that's the space that we're in right now. So we're taking the four collaborative partners and talking about how we're going to share intellectual property, what's going to happen once the product comes to market, who are the additional players that we have. And it's been pretty cordial to this point, but we haven't started trading the paperwork yet. So.
The paperwork to cutting up the IP, but also I would imagine as long as things are going well, everything's wonderful. When it comes to maybe things not working, it's always, or it can be, I shouldn't say always, it can be the other guy's fault, right? I mean, there's always pointing fingers the other way.
We haven't started pointing fingers yet. The hardest part is you have a group of very talented people that want to do a whole bunch of different things and keeping them focused.
That's
on
true.
This is a lighting challenge around light augmentation and a greenhouse operation, and we need to stay really focused. Otherwise, we're going to get off on a whole bunch of things that we have no business being in at this point.
Right. Paul?
Yeah, it's this whole idea of collaboration. You don't have mad geniuses sitting alone in their room anymore. They're all connected by the internet. It's one of the major things that's unlocked in our economy. So to connect the intensely intelligent guy at one company to the intensely intelligent gal or guy or group of people at another can really catalyze things that would otherwise not get thought of. So the collaboration is super important for us. It's also given us a reason to check back in with collaborators that we've established around the world. We've gotten in touch with a company in the Netherlands, which is having a good knock-on effect to other elements of our business. Same thing in India, same thing in Japan. And so it's a great opportunity to liven up old discussions, which sometimes can be really fruitful. And when you go back to somebody with whom you already had a relationship, then suddenly it's a two-year-old relationship, not a two-month-old relationship.
Yeah.
And things can cure over time in a good way.
What about, we talked about IP, intellectual property issues, but what about just, ownership of ideas? I don't mean from an IP standpoint. I mean just, on the one hand, people want to bring their ideas to the table, but sometimes there can be some caution around that, and some trepidation around letting an idea out of the bag because then was it his idea or her idea or our idea or whose idea was it,
Well, you're hitting on a real tough
issue
for this area.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about the culture of entrepreneurship and how Michigan suffers a little bit from us versus them. We're pretty quick to start dividing the pie versus other regions in the United States where folks are actually more willing to put off the dividing the pie until after they've grown the pie. Uh-huh. And so that issue of how do we collaborate openly, sooner, faster, more often, and literally jump in, is a cultural challenge that we continue to kind of work hard to address.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about Silicon Valley versus Southeast Michigan, the biggest difference is Silicon Valley is a networked economy. Mm-hmm. And folks get that. You know, they move companies a lot. They jump into ideas a lot, sitting around freely offering, you know, give then get
yes.
kind of mentality. Uh-huh. And in Southeast Michigan, there's a little bit of an us versus them, a pie that gets divided, that kind of gets in the way of that.
It can.
True collaboration. It's changing,
yeah,
but
it
it's
changing.
But
yeah.
we're coming out of a legacy that's mm-hmm. a little hard to change.
A culture.
A culture.
But to Gene and her team's credit, you know, we frame the whole challenge or competition, whatever you call it, you know, with the understanding that there's not going to be any ownership of ideas and there's no pie to divide until we actually have technology or product. And
right.
we told them also that there would be other players that might come with, so like Paul's talking about, from other parts of the world or even other parts of Southeastern Michigan mm-hmm. that might be involved in the project. And, you know, we have to be open to those ideas. And so far, that's working. So, mm-hmm. you know, just setting the bar right up front is really, really important so that everybody understands what the playing field is.
You know, just listening, I can see where, Gene, you could be a facilitator between issues of ownership. But are there other companies like yours around the country that are doing this?
Yes, there are other organizations like ours around the country that are serving as that sort of open space incubator and accelerator. We happen to think that we're pretty unique because we've got a pretty cool demonstration center. So it's not just ideas and services, but you can actually come and plug your technology into an existing building or an existing connected vehicle pilot or an existing microgrid or whatever mm-hmm. and see how it works. So from that perspective, we're unique. But the idea of an open space for incubation is pretty common, and most of the innovative communities across the country
yeah.
have some pretty good organizations working that issue.
Yeah. I see universities doing this a little bit. Do you
universities
see
try. It's a little bit tough. Some universities are better than others. The challenge with universities is typically research is their product.
Right, exactly. Right. Getting
so how do you get out of that mode where actually companies, new companies, growing companies are the product?
And we went to a couple of universities, and the universities, their approach is the professors develop the idea, the intermediaries bring the idea to the, in our case, farmers, and the farmers go, we don't need that idea, but here's what we need a solution for, and the intermediary takes it back to the university, and the university is like, we don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. So there's a disconnect. What Jean and her group and other organizations like that are doing is they're listening to the customer, us, and trying to marry them with the technologies as opposed to what the university does.
Also, some of the universities want to be owners in some of the... Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what to do with
it. The licensing offices and so on, yeah. But I think, you know, universities are places to learn, obviously, by nature, at the very core of their essence. And, you know, there's nothing like being out in a for-profit world in a business context where we're trying to solve this from a real business perspective.
Absolutely.
Right? With that kind of culture.
Absolutely. I mean, and we partner with pretty much all of the URC universities on specific projects and programs. We've got a joint agreement with the Center for Entrepreneurship where we actually deliver curriculum specifically to help those researchers kind of make that shift from a research mode to a commercialization mode.
Yeah.
You know, there's another great benefit that is accidental maybe in a way, and that is the intense investigations around batteries in mm-hmm. Michigan, in Southeast Michigan in particular. Because they're moving into vehicles and because they're intrinsically direct current, batteries are as a storage device, there's a whole lot of intense investment and R&D around how to make batteries better. And it turns out if you make batteries better, you've made your whole power system
sure.
better. And that's an element of what this system is. And we just happen to have that really useful community of researchers around electricity storage here.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a great model, great success. Where do you think this particular project's headed?
Gene? I'm going to let Gary answer that
one.
Gary? He's usually got the biggest vision.
Gary?
I think it's headed to a large commercial operation in the city of Detroit by 2018, a minimum of 40 acres of hydroponic facilities growing specialty produce.
I mean, that's an amazing outcome. Amazing outcome. Let me ask you, Gene, we're going to wrap up here in a second and go to a break, then we'll be right back. But before we go to it, these challenges, Do you set the challenges, or are the challenges driven by a customer coming to you with a need and you open up a challenge?
The challenges are driven by customers coming to us with a need.
So we would encourage not only companies to come to you, as we talked about earlier, but also companies, you know, young startup companies coming to you, but also companies coming to you to have one of these challenges and to get a solution for your organization.
Absolutely.
So please do that.
I mean, the same time we were running Recovery Park, we were also running a lighting challenge for Ford Motor Company.
Okay.
Completely different applications, completely different end of the spectrum in terms of who the customer was.
I love this model. Thank you all for being on the show. We're going to come back with another segment of Startup Nation Radio right after this break.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to a great edition of Startup Nation Radio. Well, we've just been hearing from some guests who are in the high-tech space and doing amazing things, both from an entrepreneurial perspective as well as from an innovative perspective. Norm Pappas, co-host of Startup Nation Radio. But entrepreneurs can make it doing a lot of different kinds of things. It doesn't have to always be high-tech.
That's true.
Some of the greatest ideas are not high-tech at all, and we do have some guests that are going to be joining us on Startup Nation Radio now. They're going to prove that point. How about an adult, a summer camp for adults? How about that idea, Norm?
Well, there's a lot of people that would be interested in that.
Well, let's find out. We're going to get Michelle Goldblum and Ali Leipzig, I hope I said that correctly, from Soul Camp. This is a summer camp for adults. Do we have you guys on the air?
Yes. So it's just Allie today.
Just Allie. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Good.
So excited to be talking to you guys.
Well, Allie, did I get your last name right, by the way, Leipzig?
Leipzig. All good.
Leipzig. Okay. Well, we want to get it right. We absolutely want to get it right. Well, thanks for joining us. And we kind of teed this up. We had the previous guests. We're talking about a lot of high tech kind of stuff, but people can come up with the craziest ideas and make a business out of it, and you're proving that with yours. Tell us about your business, Soul Camp.
Yes, it's pretty wacky.
It's pretty wacky, but pretty cool.
It's pretty fun. So Soul Camp is an adult sleepaway camp for the soul. So we bring about 200 to 300 adults to a kid's sleepaway camp for 4 days, and we put on a camp, right? So, you know, instead of doing basketball, soccer, tennis, all of our activities are centered around soul, connecting to yourself, connecting to others, bettering yourself, creating an amazing life. So, for one period, there's yoga option, there's meditation, there's Pilates, there's different New York City boutique fitness classes, there's arts and crafts and dream catcher making. And, you know, the whole 4 days is filled with these incredible instructors teaching these, classes that we wouldn't be normally taking in our day-to-day life. And then at night, we all come together and do some really fun stuff. So we have a talent show, and we have Color War, which is a nostalgic classic camp game. We do Tug of War and really fun things like that.
Let me ask you, do the adults that come there, they're not sleeping in a Four Seasons hotel, are they?
No.
It's real summer camp, right?
Real summer camp. The camp that we've had our first camp this past year, and we're having two again. Our first one this season is coming up in about 10 days. But the camp that we have it at on the East Coast has really nice bunks. So these are like really nice wooden cabins that have their own toilets and showers and tiles in the bathroom. So it's what you would think of as camp, but a little bit nicer.
Okay.
Sounds like that.
And it's sleepaway camp. And so how long is the session?
4 days and four nights.
Do they have couples come, or are they singles?
Yeah. So it's so interesting. We have such a different wide array of people coming, but we actually got a lot of couples this year. We have couples coming, so we have a couples bunk. We probably have about like six different couples, and then we also have singles or people that are in relationships but aren't coming with their partners.
How about parents and children? Like if they have older children, adult children.
Yeah, we have some mother-daughter combos coming and cousins coming together.
Very cool.
So we do keep it 18 plus. So most of the people that are coming either have kids that are young and aren't able to come, or they're older and in college. So
all right, now out of every segment we do, or any interview we do, Norm, on Startup Nation Radio, of course, it always relates back to entrepreneurship or small business ownership, etc. Tell us, I mean, you're certainly this idea shows, I mean, this is a business for you, right? I mean, I'm sure it's a passion too, but this is a for-profit business, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been in business?
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. And the idea, I mean, where does an idea like this come from? And then, you know, tell us about the business model. I mean, as I'm sure it's tuition, and but you tell us in your own words, what is this from a business perspective? How does all this come together?
So the idea really came organically. Michelle, my business partner, and I, we are really good friends. We've both been working in the wellness space already. So I have a design company, and I do branding and design. And Michelle, she had brand strategy for leaders in the wellness space. And we actually grew up at going to sleepaway camp together every summer. And the director of our camp, he reached out to us, and he was like, "Hey guys, like, I see that you're doing all these cool things. You're doing retreats. Why don't you host a yoga retreat here?" And we were like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing." We just got really excited about it. So honestly, our first retreat, we didn't think of it as a business. We were just like, let's bring all the people we love to camp and invite everyone else. And that doesn't mean we weren't putting like so much time into it, but we didn't really think of it like that. When we saw how successful it was and how the word was spreading so quickly, like we were featured in major, major press this past year, we realized that there's something viable here. So we're, again, like I've only done one event. So the business model right now, we're taking money through ticket sales. And then in addition, apparel, we're going to be having a virtual program that we add on when you come to the camp. You can be involved in this program that's going to be year-round. But to be in all transparency, we're still really figuring out, you know, how this is going to be able to scale because we've only done one.
I've got an idea for you there, actually. I was just thinking about, we can kick around in a second, but Norm, you have a question.
Well, what's great is businesses, lots of businesses that are very successful are those that combine the passion that people have with a business. And here, you know, all your pictures are smiling pictures, so, you know.
Well, it's a great thing. I mean, I think people who love camp really love camp, really love camp, and they miss it as adults, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of people would love to return to that.
My wife, Susie, used to be the camp lady and find camps for kids. You need to have somebody find camps for adults now doing this.
Well, so here's a thought in terms of scale. If you are able to build, you don't own the camp, right? Obviously, you don't.
The camp, no, not the ones that we host.
Right. You're using the campgrounds through some business relationship with a camp or campground, as you call it. So an interesting model, I think, for scale would be if you guys could put together a curriculum that works, put together a business model that works, you know, with the right programming, the right tuition, the right maybe upselling and cross-selling opportunities once they're at the camp for additional add-ons, revenue opportunities associated with that, et cetera. You could literally, I mean, I'm sure there are times around the country when camps aren't being utilized for children, you know, maybe. I mean, September, for example, the kids are back in school. They're not going to be in sleepaway camp, but it's probably a beautiful time to be at the camp otherwise. And the camp's probably sitting there empty.
Yeah, so, that's when we're doing it this year. But yeah, we've been reached out to by camps across the country.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just my thought. I think if you were to put together a program that you could then, in essence, franchise out to these camps, or maybe even, you know, it could go that way, or maybe you guys have an ability to scale by going and actually putting the program together in the local community with the cooperation of the camp on a joint venture basis. And now you've taken that camp's revenue and increased it during a time when there's excess capacity, underutilization of that capacity. You're putting it to work and earning them revenue.
Sounds to me like they want to be the Canyon Ranch of camps.
Yes. You got it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and that's really
it.
You know, to bring, you know, what we were doing is really, in essence, bringing community together, bringing people together that, you know, are like-minded. And the idea of us spreading this across the country is really our bigger vision and bringing the teachers and the healers from that local community to the people who need it to be able to experience all of that together.
Well, you know, what we talked about when we put these segments together and we pick guests and so on, we always want to bring it back to entrepreneurship. But we also, you know, we're in the entertainment business, being on the radio like this. There are people listening who want to be entertained by the subject matter. So we try to pick subject matter that's also entertaining. And I have to tell you, at first, you know, we kind of picked you guys because it's a fun story. It's entertaining, right?
Yeah, totally.
But I think this has really got a lot of business merit. I mean, this could be a great business.
Well, look at parents who want to take their children on trips. you know, I'm seeing a single mother, single daughter, or
you could theme this a million different ways. And again, drawing on the excess capacity, the underutilization of the campgrounds, it could be really cool. Well, listen, Allie Leipzig, it's a great, great having you on the air with us. Soul Camp's a really, really fun and cool idea, and I think has a tremendous business potential. We wish you great success with it, and we'd love to check back with you from time to time and hear how you guys are doing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thanks for having us, guys. Yeah.
If people want to find out more about you and your programs, how do they reach you, Allie?
So go to www.soul.camp, not soul.com, soul.camp, and you can find everything out. We have a program coming up in September and then out on the West Coast in California at the end of October.
Okay, right on. Thanks again for being on the air, Norm. Great show.
Really
great
show.
Thanks, good. Thank you very much. We'll be back on Startup Nation next week. Same place, same time. Stick with us. We'll see you next week on the radio.